On-deck business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Bit of an umpiring chat at the moment. We've got Dan Hannanbury that's not far away. He's going to talk about the footy last night and the footy coming up this weekend. Tell you what, I listened to Jared Healy's editorial a couple of weeks ago on umpiring, and he's been big on this for a long period of time. And I think anyone who listens to me knows I'm a big fan of Jared Healy for a long time. And he's big on the push in the back. And the numbers are clear. In 2018, there was about 925 push in the backs paid across the AFL season. 925 push in the back free kicks. In 2023, there was 584. That's a difference of about 340 push in the backs. And that's in marking contests only. So the rule changed in 2019. And maybe I'm in the minority, but Jake Stringer's push in the back last week, which led to a 50-metre penalty against Essendon and a goal for St Kilda, I think was correct. Don't put your hands in the back. And I think the AFL umpires don't pay enough of it. Use another way to get your opponent out of the way of the ball. Use your forearm. Use your body. Use your hips. If you're using your arms to push a player in the back, you should be penalised, and you should be penalised with a free kick against. Question here, why am I hearing your opinions? Footy journalists should not only report, leave the ideas to the people who know. Fair call, but what I do know about SEN radio is opinions make the world go round. And if I have one and you disagree, then by all means, text in or give us a call, because that's what we're here for. One man who has strong opinions and always has, and this is why we like him, is Dan Hannanbury. He played 226 games. He won a flag. He was selected in the All-Australian team three times across a decorated career for Sydney and St Kilda. Now retired, he's dipping his toe into the world of media with expert analysis, and he joins me now. Dan, welcome to SEN Afternoons.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Dan, it's a tough job umpiring, isn't it? Did you have any run-ins with umpires across your career?
No, I was pretty lucky. I always had a pretty good relationship with the umpires. So no run-ins for me, Tom.
That's good. You've got to stay above the ball, especially if you're going to poll votes in the Brownlow as you did. I want to talk to you about the footy. I want to talk to you about the footy last night before we look ahead to this weekend. You're watching Melbourne and Adelaide closely. Let's start with a positive. What is it about Melbourne that can make Demons fans think that they'll be better this year than they were last year when the whips are cracking?
I think they've always been good defensively. I mean, obviously people talked about Adelaide struggling to move the ball and whatnot last night, but you look at how quickly they set up. Their connection between, you know, forward, mid and back is pretty phenomenal. It has been for a couple of years now, and they showed that again last night. But importantly, just their connection to forward to centre is getting a lot stronger. So they had a few issues last year, clearly, with converting to scores, but they look as damaging as ever. Obviously, Fritsch started to get going that second half and really made a massive difference. And to have, I guess Clayton Oliver was okay at stages, but to have sort of one of your star midfielders not be on song as much as he usually is, to be able to still produce like I did was super impressive. So I think there's definitely growth there still for Melbourne, but compared to last year, I think offensively they're looking like a different threat.
Do you think that they have the forward line combination to win a flag with Ben Brown and Bailey Fritsch as sort of the two keys, but then some smaller guys around them?
Yeah, that's definitely the question mark. I mean, clearly Bailey's a star because I pick it's impossible to man up when you almost need two guys and one of the guys sagging off to defend him at times. He's so dangerous. So clearly they're going to get some growth. Hopefully Van Ruin will produce. He's only early days. He showed some pretty good forecast last night. He was pretty impressive. They're going to have to try and get that mix right, whether it's McDonald going down there or whether if there's an injury he has to go back, how that looks. Where they try and get another small in there? That's always the million-dollar question. I've had the same discussions going on at Sydney and St Kilda when you play, is what's that forward combination look like? I think last night they definitely got it right. It looked dangerous. Obviously, Ben Brown got subbed, so whatever that means for next week, I'm not sure. But the positive is they look dangerous, yet they're probably sort of perfected their forward-line structure. So for me, there's still growth there.
A text message coming through from Peter in Happy Valley. Tom, did you see Gawn push Riley O'Brien fair square in the back and take the mark? Free not paid, I agree. That should have been a free kick. Does Cozzy Pickett get a week for his bump, Dan, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Based on, you know, previous incidents and also what we've seen so far this year, I think Cozzy's going to be in a little bit of strife, which is frustrating because from all reports, he was working on it. And there's a couple of Demons fans in the office. And they're not too happy, Tommy. So I think hopefully he'll try and tame himself for going forward. But yeah, it wasn't ideal.
Cozzy Pickett's such an interesting test case because not unlike a lot of players you played with and against, he plays right on that edge. And we speak about Essendon edge a little bit this year. I don't know if it's been overblown or not, but regardless, some of the best teams of previous eras have played on the line there. I mean, the unsociable Hawks come to mind, certainly the Brisbane Lions when we were growing up. And I'm sure the Swans were similar in some respects as well, really just pushing the line. But if you're a coach or a footy manager, what are you telling Cozzy to just tame him enough so he doesn't get suspended?
Oh, it's a really hard one. Clearly, for whatever reason, it's he's shown it sort of in his game still. So there's going to have to be some further education around it. And it's obviously a strong awareness piece, but just try and do your best to put it towards, and as simple as it sounds, is winning the footy, winning the contested ball and putting on some serious pressure, which he does well, but there's obviously that added element to the game. And I think it's important having that edge, and you want to be on the line, but if you cross it too often, it starts to really hurt your team and your teammates. So that's where you need to be really, really careful with that. And I guess the advice, no doubt, from Melbourne to Cozzy will be, mate, put it all into your pressure and to winning that hard ball. That's where we sort of want your physicality and your edge to come from, as opposed to missing weeks, because it's becoming, you know, a little bit problematic for him and the Deeds.
Adelaide's lack of forward press is jarring, isn't it? 19 inside 50s in the first quarter for just two scores. They've struggled all year to score heavily. I know the first game against Gold Coast was in the wet, so you sort of take that score of 54 out a little bit. They only lost by a goal. But their score of 34 in Perth last week in what appeared to be perfect conditions, just 63 last night. You can win some low-scoring games, Dan, but they were the highest-scoring team in the comp last year. Offensively, weapons, and they seem to have lost it. What's happening?
It's an amazing game. It's an amazing game for you, and confidence plays such a big factor. How much it's above the head is quite extraordinary. And you saw last night there was bits of play where they'd move the ball really well, and there's just a lack of connection from mid to four, which is the hardest thing to get in footy. But even when there was easy hit-outs, there was hesitation. And when you're against a really good defence like Melbourne is, if you hesitate, there'll be no space there within the space of half a second. So the options were there. Sometimes they wouldn't take it, and when they did take it, they'd miss it. So a bit of system, but also a massive amount of confidence, because when they did late in the game get going and Jordan Dawson was switching the ball inside and they had options out, they were missing the kick. So it's a really tough one, but I think for them, they'll just keep trying to go back on what they're good at, what they're known for, and almost dialing up the pressure and defense side of things. Because when your offense isn't flowing, you need to go back to, well, what do we stand for as a team? And know hopefully that in time that'll flow back. If you're just focusing on your offense the whole time, then it becomes almost counterintuitive, and you sort of stay stuck in the mud, so to speak.
Yeah. Grant messages Harrison Petty, not one mention of him. Absolutely fair enough. Harrison Petty is playing some good footy. And Tom, how good has Tom McDonald been down back for the D's? He's good one-on-one, intercepts, and he's kicking at 85%. There's these players for Melbourne like Ben Brown to a degree, and certainly Tom McDonald, that I think most casual observers would have thought might be struggling to get a game, but they're playing some good footy, aren't they?
Yeah, Tom McDonald, he's so versatile. I mean, clearly he can play it back. And then there was times in their, you know, premiership run where he was one of their mainstays forward, and defences were having to put in a serious amount of time and effort into him playing forward. Obviously he got injured, post that sort of period. But I think, Goodwin and the D's would be wrapped with his versatility, how well he's playing. And it gives him, you know, plenty of options as well. So him and Petty are those two players that are able to swing either forward and back. So it's really important having those guys. And they've been a big reason why Melbourne are sort of now talked about as sort of that top four, top four team again.
Is Adelaide cooked, do you think, at Norton 4? Is their season over?
Look, it'd be pretty tough to come back from that, especially if you're not a grand final type side from the year before where you've started slow because of the preseason, you've got some injuries. Like, if Kyle was 0-4, I'd still have confidence they're a chance to get their season back on track. Whereas it will be really tough for Adelaide. Back in 2017, we started 0-6 after losing the 2016 grand final. And geez, I tell you what, you did not want to be in the locker room after round 4, 5 and 6, because it was brutal. The reviews were as bad as ever. But I remember, if there was one team that was going to do it, it was probably going to be, the sort of players we had in that team. They were sort of, we had a lot of champions in that team. And I think Buddy put us on his back for a couple of weeks and got going. But looking at that side, yes, they've got some stars and they played good footy last year, but it will be hard to come back from that 0-4 start.
Yeah. I want to ask you about Damien Hardwick as well and his decision to, I guess, omit six players this week. Unforced changes, guys who believe are not in his best team at the moment. It's almost unheard of to have that many changes in one week that aren't related to injury. It's even more unheard of for that team that has these changes to be 2-1. What could be going on behind the scenes at the Suns?
It's a massive call. I must admit, I was pretty surprised when I saw that. I think what he's probably trying to do is he's put his mark down to, you know, let the whole group know that there's standards to uphold. Not to say those players haven't been, you know, adhering to standards, but they want to be, you know, set a strong foundation, a strong culture, and clearly those players that are getting a game this week are showing really good form in the reserves, and for whatever reason, those players have fallen out of favour this week. So I guess what it does is, it, you know, from a whole club perspective, is it puts everyone on notice, and it just creates really positive momentum for them. I mean, it really creates a strong culture, and I think it's only going to drive them to stronger results. So it's a surprise having six changes. I mean, maybe you'd have two or three, but I guess he's looking for a massive lift in effort and intensity. And I think having those that many guys debut will generally get the rest of the playing group quiet up. So it'll be interesting to see the response. But it is an extraordinary move.
Bit of tension behind the scenes at the Sydney Swans over the last week or so regarding a private matter. And it led to Sam Wicks being, I guess, left out of all footy for the weekend just to ease the tension. The club says that all is okay now and there's no lingering effects. I'm sure you would have been involved in either directly or indirectly involved in incidents at footy clubs like this over the years where there is some tension and it can be difficult to resolve, and it maybe didn't come out in the media like this did. What's important in these moments internally?
I was always a well-behaved boy, Tom, so don't... No assumptions there, mate. No comment. But I mean, without really knowing, I haven't really spoken to any guys about it. I've just read on what everyone else has read online. Generally, like your footy manager and your senior coach and your leadership group are generally the three sort of groups of people who get together. They'll talk about it. And generally, good footy clubs, and I've been a part of a couple, that they'll get on the front foot. They'll speak to the group. You don't want any whispers in the locker room, and you know, he said, she said type stuff. And it's really important to get it out in the open, have a chat, thrash it out, and then you move on from there. So having a really strong leadership group is important, but also having a coach and a footy manager that knocks on the head, speaks to the group, gets in front of it, and you go from there. I think without even knowing or speaking to anyone up there, I'm not across it at all, but I've got no doubt we've got such a strong culture and leadership group and coaching sort of structure from the coaches, you know, all the way up to the board, that they would have knocked it on the head to make sure that, you know, it's not going to affect the playing group. And, you know, from what I can gather, it hasn't. And knowing Horse pretty well and knowing that leadership group pretty well, it'll be, right, what's our process? What's it like for this week? How do you go about it? On to training and on to West Coast and getting the 4 points. I think they're very much on to the next. So I'll be interested to see how they go. But I'd say it'll be head down from here.
Last one for me. You're playing some footy this year. Can you tell us who you're playing for and how your pre-season's going? I've been hearing you've been running pretty well as well.
I actually haven't done too many pre-season training sessions from a footy sense. I've been clocking some K's, so I'll be sick.
Yep.
I'm playing for old Zabs in the amateurs. At this stage, definitely coaching the midfield. Yep. Whether I actually play is another question. I think I will, but we'll see how the body goes with some of the physicality and the the higher intensity running, Tommy. But at this stage, looking to play, so it'll be a bit of fun and get down there and the Turak Park is a new, they just laid the new grass there. So I'll be looking forward to having a run around on that.
I was talking to Andrew Dillon about this actually the other day because we're just waiting to do an interview. And he was noting that there's actually footy every night of the week at Turak Park, you know, with Paran and old Zabs. Then in the cricket season, of course, Paran Cricket Club. And it hasn't got a rest for years. So it's quite tired, that surface. They've redone it. And it's smart for you to say, yeah, I'll play a few games now, given they've redone that surface, probably a bit safer than it was in the past.
Oh, it's a lot safer. We were having a run around in the last night and we were just saying that, look, it's absolute pristine. It's as good as an AFL deck at the moment. But with that much activity over the next couple of weeks, you can easily see it getting chopped up pretty quickly.
Dan, appreciate your time. Good luck for this season with old Zabs. Keep clocking up the Ks and we'll chat to you again soon. Appreciate your analysis.
Thanks, Tom. Cheers, mate.
Sydney Premiership player. Dan Hannanbury also was AFL Coaches Association Player of the Year one season as well, a three-time All-Australian. Plenty of text messages coming through as well. Tommy, I've said it for some time now. Action, not... Sorry, that's the wrong message. This one. You are a Jared Healy fan, first and foremost, because he's a Melbourne footballer, was this text. As far as I'm concerned, a more modern Kane Corns is the very best in the business. He calls it as it really is. Refreshingly, he's not scared by bias. Thankfully, he will promote interstate teams and is not blinkered by this Victorian mentality. Well, first of all, I'm a Jared Healy fan because I'm a Jared Healy fan, not because he played for Melbourne and the Sydney Swans and wherever else he's done. I think he's an excellent expert. I think he's a great host and he's been a close confidant for many years. And as far as Kane Corns is concerned, I'm also a fan of him. Luckily in the media, we can like expert analysis from more than one people. I think Kane and Jared on Sports Day together are a fantastic combination. More to come on SDN Afternoons after this.